If you've got a Bible with you, would you like to turn to Acts chapter 10, which we'll be opening up in just a few minutes to read from the first eight verses in there initially. Now, here's the question which I'm going to be asking you to respond to. It is not everybody's ideal to talk out in church if you're not behind this, but to respond at least in your heads to God, because it's a question he's asking. And I don't know where the church in the 21st or 20th century would be without a post-it note, but to put on here, if this is your genre of response, your response to this question: what has God been teaching you this year so far? The word disciple in the Bible literally means learner. So what? Another way of asking the question is, what have I been learning from God this year? One thing's certain, he's been wanting to teach us something. The best place to learn new things is when we're in a new situation. The whole world's been in a new situation this year. Just as the best way to learn to swim is when you're out of your depth, or at least up to your neck, so in this new situation the world finds itself in, God has been doing a new thing. He has been teaching new things. For many people, you might be one of them, quite anguishing things. Lessons are often not easy. That is why new things can be scary. We're looking from God's word throughout our evening services at times when God taught a new thing, often in a new way, to people. What is God teaching you? Because God is our Father, and he sings his songs of love over us. As Psalm 91 says, he is our refuge and our fortress. The new things God teaching us, me and you, are always good things for our benefit. He will protect us in the midst of the learning. What is it, Lord, that you are teaching us? This last week, as I mentioned in passing, I've got to wander around. A learning machine. He's thanks. 18 months old. When Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God, I've been getting a new understanding of that. Isaac is our grandson. He's 18 months. Every single thing he does, well, a lot of things anyway, he's learning from, especially when he's come to England for the first time. When he sees a cat, he's learning what happens when you pull its tail. The cat, who's quite old, he learns pretty quickly, so he scarpers the moment he sees him. Even our Labrador, who's the most laid-back animal on earth, became slightly wary. That's what he was learning of this little chap. Whatever he did, he was exploring. It was fantastic fun. Unless we become like a little child, Jesus says, we'll never enter the kingdom of God. And as we grow up, it's easy to stop learning. Jesus, in the whole of history, is looking for disciples, people who are learners. And a wonderful characteristic, a childlike characteristic of the disciple, is the one who is teachable, who is willing to be taught. God brings the stories of two grown men who'd learnt a lot in life, but who had this childlike quality in Acts chapter 10. One is Cornelius. Cornelius is like my plant here. A plant that is meant to grow at a certain time, like this one, needs to be repotted so that its roots can grow deeper and so that it can grow higher. Cornelius is one who is a man who is a devout man. He's not born a Jew, but he's been following Jewish teachings and practices. He's drawn to God. He's a teachable man, this Roman centurion. But God wants to teach him a new thing for his roots to grow deeper. He's going to repot him, as it were. Now, Simon Peter,
who God uses to teach Cornelius. He's like my plum tree here. If some of our learning experiences are where God teaches us more deeply of the things of God, so that our roots grow, possibly not through a sermon, although sometimes they can help, but often through experience. Cornelius is going to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. But what God wants to do with some of us, Jesus promised it. He likened his father to a gardener. And we are like branches of a vine or a plum tree, maybe. And his purpose is that they are fruitful. And Jesus said in John chapter 15 that his father, the gardener, prunes every branch so that, don't tell my wife I'm doing this, but anyway, for the sake of this. He prunes branches. Pruning is not comfortable. Like new lessons, pruning is something we might prefer to avoid. But this is what Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, is doing with Simon Peter in this episode in a way that's super relevant. What is it that God is teaching you and me this year, this particular season? Here's Cornelius' story. Joe, would you come and read it for us? Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. So we're going to read from Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 8, first of all. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 8. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa.
Thanks, Joe. So when you read about Cornelius, what are the things that strike you? Could be anything at all about him. A preacher often gives rhetorical questions, not expecting an answer, but this one, what do you think? He's a centurion, so he's a soldier. We know. Are there any things that strike you about Cornelius, what his character is? Sorry. This is the problem with Mars. He is God-fearing. Thanks, Paula. So he is clearly receptive to the things of God. Thank you. Thanks, Leroy. Yeah. What do you think is special about the fact that it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it says in the reading, and he's praying? Why do you think he's doing that? It's actually a Jewish time of prayer. So although he's not a Jew, he's following this Jewish practice. And as you said, he also gives to the poor. So he's a generous man. He doesn't look down on others, probably. He's certainly respected amongst the people. Gerline, you said something. Generous. He is generous. He's got a lot of things going for him. When the angel appears to him in this vision, a vision literally means receiving new sight. What does Cornelius say? So he says, "What is it, Lord? What's special about saying, 'What is it, Lord?'" Do you think? He believes it is God speaking to him. He recognizes the voice of God because he's saying, "Lord, what is it, Lord?" In a few verses' time, Simon Peter, who you would have thought, having been with Jesus for 3 years, would have a better idea, his response is this: "Surely not, Lord," to the vision he's given. Cornelius, by contrast, says, "What is it, Lord?" The one thing to learn from Cornelius, it is good to say to God, if our roots want to go deeper into him, it is such a good thing to say, "Lord God, what is it you are teaching me?" Where I am up to my neck or out of my depth in circumstances, what is it you are doing? The psalmist often cries in lament, "Why, Lord, why?" and gets no response to that exact question very often. But God is always doing something. What God is doing, because he's the Lord and because he's our Father, is always to give us roots that are going deeper into his goodness. Cornelius is going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in verse 44, 45. As he has this openness. The writer A.W. Tozer called it like a vacuum of desire for God to work. Too many Christians, he wrote, in his age, in his country, were so self-satisfied there was no vacuum of desire for the Holy Spirit to go into. What is it, Lord, that you are doing in my life? What is it that you're teaching me? And because he is devout, he's a man of prayer, he's a generous man, he has a teachable spirit, he has the childlike characteristic that God loves and who he repots with a whole new experience of more of God. And then we've got finally Simon Peter. Joe, would you just read for us the final part of the reading this evening?
So we're going to read from verse 9 to 16 of chapter 10. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven.
Why is it that Simon Peter, in the learning experience that God's giving him three times, gives him the same vision, same new eyes to look through. And Simon Peter's response is, "Surely not, Lord." Why does he say that, do you think? Sorry, Rebecca, say that again. Because he didn't want to eat the animals. That's very true, yes. Ruth, what do you reckon? Yes, it is. Yeah, thank you. That's all right.
And the other lady was talking. I started to think, oh, what does God want me to do in my life?
It's a great question, Rebecca. It's a great question. And you're absolutely right. It is good to remember that Simon Peter is such an encouragement. I think I would say the same thing. It goes against my nature and my nurture in certain things. And when Simon Peter says, surely not, Lord, he's just telling God the truth. And God, who is so patient with us, gives him the same vision again. But this is the learning experience that Simon Peter has. Look at verse 34. This is what Simon Peter says. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts those from every nation who fear him and do what is right. He'd never realized it before. He's followed Jesus for 3 years. He has preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people have been baptized and saved. In the next chapter, he's healing a lame beggar. A couple of chapters after that, he raises a woman from the dead. If anybody had deep roots in the experience of Jesus, it's Simon Peter. But he still needs pruning because he's got a blind spot. And just like the Pharisees, these religious experts with their blind spot, like a plank in their eye, Jesus said. But he, like Cornelius in a different way, is teachable to realize that God does not show favoritism. The whole of his life as a Jewish man, Simon Peter, brought up in a household where to eat certain things was just wrong. And in his heart of hearts, he cannot believe that the gift of God's Holy Spirit is for everyone in the same way. And Jesus needs to prune this blind spot. Unless you're Jesus, unless I'm Jesus, we all have things in us through our nature, through our nurture, through our experience, that Jesus, like the potter with the clay or the gardener with the secateurs, to mix some metaphors, but they're both biblical, wants to reshape, wants to prune. Simon, you've healed the sick, you've raised the dead, you converted 3,000, but you're not Jesus. And the vision Simon receives is preparing him for the visit of Cornelius's men. And how relevant this is at such a time as this, for such a church as this, for such a man as myself, maybe yourself, with white privilege, never recognizing before, through my nature and nurture, certain things which God has opened my eyes to. One of them is just the privilege that it is that I have experienced the whole of my life that so many in this country and across the world haven't. You might be one of them. A visionary leader did not say once in a famous speech, I have a disappointment, but he said, I have a dream. And that's what both these men, Cornelius, who God wants to root deeper into an understanding of him, and Simon Peter, who God needs to prune the blind spot of, it's frankly racial prejudice that Simon Peter has. He cannot believe that Gentiles can receive the Holy Spirit. Unless we're Jesus, we are all in the learning business. As disciples, that's our calling. So I'm just going to invite you now, if it is your thing, to write on your post-it note. It's just stuck behind your chair, but you don't have to. Any experience you have of God teaching you, which is a thanksgiving, or any experience you need from God that you want to bring to him. Either to grow deeper into him and to receive more of the power of his Holy Spirit, which if you wish to, you can stick on my Cornelius pot here. Either as a thanksgiving for any gift of the Holy Spirit you have, or any prayer for more of the Holy Spirit you want. Or if God, you sense, is pruning something in your life, let us throw off everything that entangles and that holds us back, the letter to the Hebrews says. This blind spot of Simon Peter was holding back this immense preacher and rock on whom Jesus was building his church and raiser of the dead and healer. And yet with this blind spot Jesus was pruning. If that's something God is teaching you, or that you want to receive, or you feel you need, or you want to thank God for, you can stick it on my Simon Peter plum tree. But so either on your post-it notes or simply in a prayer mat, we are still and know that he is God, and we are not, but we, like children of God, are wanting to learn from him. And if it helps you to write that down on your post-it note, then please do. I'm just going to spend 3 or 4 minutes doing that.
Father God, what was true for the one who you used, who you called the rock on who you'd build your church, is true for us all. That we need your Holy Spirit to grow deeper with you. We need day by day, hour by hour, to keep learning from you and leaning on you. Teach us your ways, we pray, and equip us as you came upon Cornelius, so come upon us for all that you call us to as we seek to walk your ways.